We're going to be deviating from the plan of going through the epistles of John because I just have been impressed here of late to deal with this message here. Our text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I've entitled this, The Union of Communion, subtitled Authority, Unity, and Intimacy, Division or Communion. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 16 says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, with the Lord's Supper being planned for this coming Lord's Day, I'm going to deal with some things that make me feel that we should not observe the Lord's Supper, and I'll tell you the reasons why as we go along in the message. The coronavirus has been a dividing factor in all over the world, in different countries, in nations, states, counties, and communities, and many so-called churches and true churches. And talking with pastors and church members here and abroad, missionaries, and reading about their stories. Due to the lack of information about the coronavirus, back in April 5th, we postponed the Lord's Supper. The coronavirus has become the division virus in our culture today. The Church of Corinth had a problem with division. Notice there in 1 Corinthians 11, in regards to the Lord's Supper, it says in verse 17 of chapter 11, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Why? Because there is division. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 1, he starts off in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then again, 1 Corinthians 3:3. I told you, Church of Corinth had a problem with this. Chapter 3, verse 3, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The very opposite of communion is division. One of the beauties of observing the Lord's Supper is communion, the union of communion. It's amazing because the depth and yet a simplicity in observing the Lord's Supper. Who can fathom the depths of God's love displayed at the cross for us, and yet a young babe in Christ can appreciate and enjoy and obey this solemn and yet celebratory ordinance called the Lord's Supper? But you know, the Church of Corinth wasn't unusual, because all churches have problems. You think you're going to find a church that has no problems? Well, you're not going to find it here on this earth. There's always going to be. The only place that we're not going to have problems is up in heaven. That's the only place. But one problem stood out that prevented them from observing the Lord's Supper. That is division. We have a special blessing in being one of the Lord's churches, and that we have the authority to administer and to observe this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But sometimes all we think about is the authority, and we don't think about the intimacy and the unity. And thereby, we don't have the authority, in a sense, because we don't have the unity. Because we want to be observing it right. So I want to look at a few things. Number one, I want to look at the definition of division. The definition of division. We find there in our text, where we find the word division, or I should say my text in 1 Corinthians 11, where it talks about division. It is a word called schisma. It's translated division five times, rent, not like paying the rent, but you know, you rent it in twain, like a rip something apart. Schism once means dissension and separation. Now, there is such a thing as unbiblical division. Unbiblical division, or something that is not right in the sight of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. There was a separation. It was biblical in a sense, but in another sense, it was bad. Let's put it that way. That they were of us and they left. It's bad they left, but in a sense it's good they left. You know what I'm saying? For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The other kind of unbiblical or wrong or kind of division is Jude 1:19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They separate themselves, and that is unlawful because they're being ungodly and sensual and they don't have the Spirit of God. The other kind of unbiblical division is this. It is this kind of division that has to do with things that we don't have any specific example in the Bible of. It is things that we don't have all the facts on. We don't have all the facts about this coronavirus. I could feel confident about my knowledge about the coronavirus if and only if I had the training in the medical field where I could look at the coronavirus and tell what it is, see if a mask did you any good or not, and see the actual test being done and performed. Only then would I ever be satisfied if I had the training to be able to examine all that. Otherwise, I am operating in ignorance. Every one of us are, because none of us have been able to do that. And we almost humble ourselves and realize, I do not have all the answers. I do not have all the facts. And so therefore, it is not worth division at all. So, we want to look at biblical division. And if you look over in John chapter 7, verse 37... speaking of Jesus, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow waters, rivers of living water. But this he spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus were not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they had heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, speaking of the Messiah. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that the Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. If we're going to be divided, let it be that we are never divided about Christ. We are unified in Christ. We are divided from the world. The Bible says, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. That's biblical division. That's a right kind, legitimate kind of division. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. We see in Galatians 2:11. A kind of unbiblical division, and then a unification by Paul when he confronted Peter in Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed, for before that certain came from James that did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, and the other Jews assembled also, or likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So, of course, there we have unbiblical division and reunification through Paul's rebuke. So, what is the solution? What's the solution to division? Well, like I said, this coronavirus has become a division virus. And I don't know if some of you have ever studied some of this stuff. I've been doing a lot of research here lately on it. But according to what I read, there needs to be an effective antibody to be able to neutralize or to repel the virus. And there's a term called comorbidity. We'll get the word morbid from morbidity. Comorbidity is an underlying disease or medical condition that can result in a more serious outcome if that person who has that underlying disease, if they would get COVID-19, it'd be much more serious than if you didn't have the underlying problem. This comorbidity. We have comorbidities in every church. We have underlying spiritual conditions, namely our sin nature, our remaining sin in every single one of us. And if any of us would catch this division virus, it would make things a whole lot worse because of our underlying sin, our remaining sin. So we got to be careful. Satan wants to divide and conquer. He's doing that all over the world. So we got to be careful. One of those remaining sins, these comorbidities in a church, is the sin of resentment that makes the division virus, the effects, go crazy. The sin of morbidity or of resentment when someone disagrees with us will make the division a whole lot worse. Because we resent somebody who dares to differ with us on our point of view or opinion. When it comes to the coronavirus, we don't all have the facts. I am not an expert. I don't have all the answers, and neither do any of us. Neither do the so-called experts. have all the answers. Just take, for instance, they keep changing their mind. That tells you something. And then we see the sin of discontent. In some case, some of us have not experienced this, but some people have. The reduced incomes, the reduced opportunities, the increased inconveniences. All these things can, the sin of discontent can be an underlying problem of our sin nature. That when the division virus comes, it'll make things a whole lot worse. And you know, Satan, he is the one that plants division viruses. I'm talking about unbiblical ones now. I know there's some biblical ones, okay? There's a need for division when one side of the church believes in free will and that God loves everybody, and the other church, side of the church, doesn't. Then there has to be a division. Now, there's got to be a decision, but is there a way to do it, too? That's the other thing. There's a way to do it. So, as we look at this whole solution to division, immunities or antibodies is the body's ability to repel diseases. And what they've been doing, I don't know the latest news on this procedure, is that they are taking those who have overcome the COVID-19 because they have certain antibodies. They're taking the blood, or I don't know if they can take the antibodies, but anyway, they're taking it out of them and putting it in people who are sick so that they can have those antibodies. Okay? And that is what we need. We need a Christ-like injection so that we can overcome this corona or this division virus. Without such an antibody that we're going to be talking about here, or antibodies, we may not only get sick as a church, we may die. That can happen. I've seen church splits over the silliest things. So don't think Satan can't do something like that. But I want us to look at the first antibody, and that is communion. Communion is the antibody we need to help us with this. What does communion mean? Well, it means fellowship, communication, distribution, contribution, communicate, fellowship. There's an association, there's community, there's a joint participation, there's the sharing, there is the intimacy, being involved together, a togetherness. See the word communion, you see the word come, right? The word come, we get the word common, right? And it simply means that there is something in common with us, being in union with, easily in union with, because we have something in common. We have a union, come together, common. Union, harmony, and a oneness. There's a togetherness via the things that we have in common. Namely, our union with Christ. Christ must have the preeminence if we're going to overcome any kind of division virus. Union lies at the basis of communion. We must be one in Christ in our heart, in our soul, in our life. In union with Him, with our thoughts, our actions, our doctrinal positions, our doctrinal applications, the way that we live, our worship, at church, at work, at home. And we must be in union with Christ and with one another in all of these things. We're taking consideration, loving one another, considering the weaknesses, emotions, sorrows, joys, likes, dislikes, and so on and so forth of other people. And if we believe something strongly, we can take a strong, firm stand, and we can be gracious about it. Don't be a jerk, no matter what position you take. That's not Christ-like. I'm going to tell you right now, I wore the mask. I don't think the mask, that's my personal ignorant opinion, I guess you could say, I don't think the mask is doing me any good whatsoever. But if I wear it for a couple, 3 hours while I'm here, you know, that's about as long as I'd wear it when I'm cutting grass. And I don't want to get to sneezing or earache or anything like that. It's no big deal. Think about that. We're going to go get more on that a little bit later. Don't be mad at me. I'm not mad at you because you wear a mask or whether you don't wear a mask. To me, it doesn't matter to me at all. Because there's nothing in the Bible that tells me one way or another. But be gracious, be loving, prayerful about it. I prayed a lot about this message and about this whole thing. We can't have communion with Christ until we're in union with Him, and we can't have communion with the church until we're in union with Christ and with one another. It was so bad in Corinth, like I read, when you come together in chapter 11, verse 20, therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's not to eat the Lord's Supper. So, considering all of this, I want us to look at another antibody besides communion. The other antibody is forbearance. Brother Powell used to always say, we got to bear and forbear with one another. I remember he used to always say that. And it's so true, though. I mean, we'll look at two passages. Number one, look at Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's what we all are as God's people. We're God's beloved. Bowels deep down. Bowels of mercy. Nothing superficial. Real, genuine. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Now, you all could raise your hand along with me. We've not all done this all the time, all our life, have we? But we need to be reminded about it. And especially in times where Satan is running rampant and he's going to get worse. We need to really pay attention because he will split churches. He's already doing it. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is a bond of perfectness. You know, the bond keeps us together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And what shall you do in word or in deed? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God and the Father by Him. When we got a rift with another in the body, are we thankful for that person that we have a rift with, that they are in the body? Do we love them? Do we have bowels of mercies and compassion? Do we think about what they might be feeling? Do we think about, maybe I don't have all the facts in this situation? Guess how you do that? You go to them privately. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Notice another passage, just bearing and forbearing. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Now this is the solution, really, and I'll get into it, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. If we apply it, we get liberation from division. You know, you can have a solution, but if you don't apply it...
Well, we're thankful everything went well at the park, and grateful for the people who were under the sound of the preaching and ones who could speak to afterwards that sat and listened to the message. So pray that God would bring it to their remembrance and make it effectual to their hearts.
This is a summary of the
believers. But they weren't currently attending church anywhere.
As believers together in Christ. In view of that, what does he say, first of all, to do? Now, I don't know a lot about these antibodies, but from what I understand, there are elements or proteins or something that help energize these, for lack of a better word. And that's what we see here. A walk. There needs to be a certain walk. First of all, we got to be called. And then we have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That word worthy is an adverb. It's a corresponding adverb to where the calling and the walking have to correspond with one another. They got to be in harmony with one another. So that's the first element needed. In order to have this antibody of this forbearance, we must have a walking that is worthy or in accordance to our calling. And we see the other element that's needed for this forbearance. It says, with all lowliness. That's called humbleness. It's called humility. Again, we don't have all the facts. And it takes humility to say, I don't. I think I know, and I'm suspicious because the Democrats are pushing the mass. I'm suspicious, but I don't have all the facts. But then it's also, there's not only the need for humility, it says, and meekness. What is meekness? In other words, to have a gentleness about us. Don't be rough around the edges, and us guys are the worst. You know, we can be that way. Don't be rough around the edges. Gentleness. In other words, if I don't have any Bible, I have no right to make any demands on anybody. At all. When I don't know everything about the issue. And then, we see that there is with long-suffering. That word means long passion, patience, long-tempered, without losing one's temper or wanting to strike back. Chomping at the bit where I'm going to tell them a thing or two. Long-suffering doesn't do that. And so now we come to the forbearance. Forbearing one another in love. The motive is love. Sometimes people are getting on to me about talking about love so much. Well, I'm telling you, we need it again. I need it every day, to be honest with you. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With a combination of the diversity of every different church body, including this one, it demands that we bear and forbear. Otherwise, if a member or members demand others to see everything their way, then unity is just a dream and an impossibility. And when you think about it, just think about how forbearing Christ is with us. He is so forbearing towards us and our sins. If He wasn't forbearing with us, where would we be? It's our duty to be Christ-like and to put up with one another and remember, I have my own peculiarities just like any other person does. The unity of the church is more important than whether everyone agrees with me on something like the coronavirus or not. I am not going to allow, by the grace of God, the coronavirus to divide this church, if I have anything to do with it. We have to learn, I say we, have to learn the art of agreeing to disagree over areas like this where I don't have a specific Bible verse I can turn to. And I don't have all the information and facts available to me. Let's honor Christ in our disagreements. Let's show love and peace and kindness and be gracious toward each other. Don't get mad as if whoever is disagreeing with you is some kind of idiot. That's not loving. It's not Christ-like. It's very prideful, actually. So we need to tolerate each other, endure with one another, put up with each other, have patience, have long-suffering with the ones who, yes, who may provoke us, who may irritate us, who may annoy us, who get on our nerves. But those things that get on our nerves are not sin. We got personality differences, whatever. You know, like husband and wife, you know. I can't imagine why Carol would have any reason to be annoyed with me at all. But she is at times. And the same with me. That's just part of not only in a marriage, but also in a church. There's something sinful about it. I forgot what we were doing today. I spilled some V8. And I wiped it up with a rag. And then she said, "Did you spill something here?" I said, "Yes, I spilled something, but I wiped it up." And they said, "Well," so she went up and she was going to do a better job. And so I took a paper towel. I quickly went over and beat her to it. But then she still had to go over there and get the washcloth and do it again. But anyway, there's nothing sinful about it, but it was annoying to a certain degree. Thankfully, I was studying this message, so I took it a little bit better. But there's nothing sinful about it. She didn't mean anything by it. We all have our certain preferences, our likes and dislikes. And they may be not sinful, but they just get on each other's nerves for whatever reason. Sometimes in the mood that we're in or the difficulties. That's the other thing. Remember, there are people just like you and me, people in this body who may have had a tough day. There's things that I know that people are going through that nobody else in the church knows. And there's the same thing. I'm sure there's things I don't know that you're going through. So we've got to be careful. We don't know everything that everyone's going through. Things that I'm going through, no one else knows that I'm going through except Carol. But we need to be careful when we get the attitude of, why can't they see this? I'm done. It's ridiculous. But where's the Bible verse about it? We need the Spirit. We need that antibody of communion and forbearance that neutralizes the division virus, whether it's in a church or in a marriage or a friendship or whatever it might be. The Spirit of God has got to give us the power of restraint to make allowances for others because we love each other. That's why I didn't divorce her over that, because I love her. Over the washcloth. Because we love each other. Let's look in 1 Corinthians again, verse 9, or chapter 9. Once again, I don't think that the mask is doing me any good at all. But that's my limited understanding of what I see. Others say it does do good. And it depends on the application and all that too, I guess. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." That's humility, isn't it? "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." And you can go to the end of the chapter, but we'll stop there. Be all things to all people. Be the bigger person is another way to put it, I guess. And while we're thinking of these things, when there is a problem in the church, we got to be careful. If we have a disagreement with somebody, go to them privately first. If you're going to speak out against a certain person because they brought up something, don't send an email or a text telling everybody in church about it. Please go to that person privately first. And then warn them. I'm going to have to take it to more people. Then maybe they'll understand how serious you are. Out of love to the church, love to that person, love to God. The implications, we might say, of doing such things is that in the case of the pastor, you're casting doubt on the pastor. You're casting doubt on what he preaches. You're casting doubt on the gospel. Oh, well, the pastor really messed up. I guess I'm not going to believe him, little children might think in their mind. Or church members might think. Or anybody, a Sunday school teacher, anybody that's up here or praying, visitors, the potential undermining of the preached word, the taught word, or the prayed word, it's serious stuff. Again, we don't always have all the facts. Sometimes something's put out generally, and if you talk to them one-on-one, then maybe we could get the details. Maybe we don't fully understand what was involved or the issue at hand. Again, that's humility. that, oh, well, maybe I didn't understand, giving people a benefit of the doubt, or maybe there's something going on. It's out of love toward one another. So, like I said, because of these kinds of issues that are going on in the church today, and there is another matter that many of you don't know about because it's confidential, it's not advisable for us to observe the Lord's Supper this coming Lord's Day, believe me. Now, that being said, I do not fear. I'm not in despair. I am concerned, yes, but I'm confident that God can overcome these difficulties. So, let's get injected with the antibody of forbearance and communion. May God help us to enjoy the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Again, I'm not mad at you if you wear a mask. I'm not mad at you if you don't. I love you. But don't get mad at me because I'm going to wear it when I come down from here. Okay? I'm just going to do that. So, I think you know why now. So, anyway, with that in mind, let's begin our season of prayer.